Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
7 years ago this week, 7 years ago this week, Joe and I were in Tennessee, and I remember this very, very well. We were in Tennessee sitting on the porch of a mountain cabin, which is our favorite thing to do in Tennessee, and we were talking about you. We were talking about you. We were talking about you, Maplewood. Specifically, we were talking about how God was speaking to us in regards to the invitation that you had extended to us ever so kindly to come to Maplewood and be part of who you are and serve as your co-lead pastors. I cannot say that it was a hard decision. God had made it very clear. I love when God does that. God had made it very clear. That day on a mountain, we both felt strongly, Joe and I both felt strongly, that we belonged at Maplewood for such a time as this with you. So that very day, we called our current district superintendent, Jeff Kunzelman, and we communicated that yes, that we were ready to come and join the Maplewood family. And wow, I can't believe it's been 7 years. 7 years. Stephen, you got me a number 7 up there on the screen. Is it stuck? Oh, there it is. 7 years. Sometimes it feels like I blinked and now here we are. Time flies when you're having fun. That's what they say, right? We have enjoyed these 7 years with you, and we look forward to what God has in store in the future. 7 years ago, some of you had not yet arrived to Maplewood. We're glad you're here now. You make us better. You do. 7 years ago, some loyal Maplewood friends were here who have now gone away from us and gone on to their heavenly reward. And we miss them. But we know their legacy continues on when we love God and love others as they did. Amen? 7 years ago, I did not have the faintest idea of what God was going to do upon our arrival here. I actually told Melissa this story yesterday. I got here and thought, I'm going to train these people how to do children's ministries. And then you know what happened? You all trained me. Yeah, I didn't do any training. You all trained me. I didn't know that was going to happen, but wow, it has been amazing. I knew we were called to join you, and I was excited to see how God would do what God always does, and that is to work all things for good for those who love him. Amen? Amen. And I have to tell you, being at Maplewood has worked good in my life, and I hope it has yours too. These past 7 years have been a grand adventure, and God is surely not done. Amen? Amen? 7 years. I love the significance of that number. Did you know that the number 7 in the Bible often resonates with great significance? The number 7 frequently holds symbolism in the Bible. Sometimes it can mean blessings. Sometimes it can mean Sabbath. That makes sense, right? Sabbath. Sometimes it can mean fulfillment. Fulfillment of promises. Sometimes it means completion. Sometimes it means rest and restoration. We all know that every 7 days God commands a day of Sabbath for his children. The fourth commandment, right? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The Sabbath, every 7 days, is a day to rest, to recover, to refuel. I hope that you are feeling that this time together with your faith family is part of that resting and refueling the gift that God has for you. Sabbath is a gift from God, not a burden. It is a gift. And it's why we're here today. You may not know that in addition to a weekly Sabbath, God called his people in the Old Testament to also observe additional kinds of Sabbath. Did you know that? Some of you might have, some of you might not. These Sabbaths, additional kind of Sabbaths, would occur not every 7 days, but some of them occurred every 7 years. For example, one of the every 7 year Sabbath routines was that they should allow their planting fields to rest for an entire growing season. Why? Because just like people, soil needs to rest. Soil needs to rest or it becomes depleted of its health and it fails to bring forth good harvest. Allowing the fields to rest and remain unplanted for one season every 7 years helps the soil to naturally recharge and become rich and fruitful again. So a weekly Sabbath, one every 7 days, was God's prescription for his people. And then every 7 years, God gave an added prescription for his people to further bless them and make them more fruitful, both literally and figuratively, okay? And that's not all. Then we get the ultimate supercharged Sabbath prescription that God gives the Old Testament peoples. And this Sabbath prescription was 7 times 7. 7 times 7 is 49, right? At the end of 49 years, 7 times 7 years, God declared for his people the year of Jubilee. Yeah, that gets me excited. The year of Jubilee. Sometimes it's referred to as the year of our Lord's favor. The year of our Lord's favor, because it was a time of great blessing for God's people. That makes sense, right? In Old Testament times, the year of Jubilee would happen only every 7 times 7 years, and it was basically the Sabbath of all Sabbaths. On the Day of Atonement, every 7 times 7 years, a special horn, I don't know if it looked like this one, but it might have, and it was called a jobel, J-O-B-E-L, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, was blown in the temple on the Day of Atonement, and this marked the beginning of the year of Jubilee. Nothing like having a trumpet just like mark the beginning, right? Yes. For the entirety of this special year, God's people were invited, don't miss that word, to partake in the amazing prescription of blessings, of Jubilee blessings. First among those blessings was the forgiveness of debts. Now, I know what debt is. You who are paying off student loans, I know some of you. You who are paying off cars or houses or medical bills or consumer debt, you know the weight and stress of debt. Amen? Amen. I knew you did. Can you imagine how amazing it would be if there was a year coming in your life when you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that all of your financial debts were just going to be forgiven, just erased from the board. No matter how much you owe, big amounts or small amounts, they would all be completely forgiven. That would be crazy amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, in my brain, I'd be going, who's paying for this? And my son would say, well, somebody is. But let's say that, and it doesn't put any hardship on any other person, they're just wiped away and forgiven. Well, that was one of the amazing blessings of the biblical year of Jubilee. The horn would blow, and all the financial debts of all the people of God would be completely wiped entirely clean. You'd have to be crazy to turn that down, wouldn't you? Everyone would have a fresh financial start. Talk about a reason to blow a horn. Yes. And that's just for starters. Here's the second amazing blessing that came with the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, slaves were set free. In Bible times, if you could not pay your debts, you had little alternative but to sell yourself or your family members into slavery in order to work off those debts. A person who sold themselves or their families to pay back a debt was called an indentured slave. But as soon as that horn blows, as soon as the horn of Jubilee blows, every indentured slave was set free. Yes, your debt is forgiven. You are set free. Wow. You no longer owed, so you're no longer a slave. Amen? Everyone was free. No debt to work off meant a clean slate and a new beginning for every single person. It was really, I'm sure, a very leveling idea, because those who were prosperous or those who were poor were now all set back to rights. That sounds beautiful, doesn't it? No one in their right mind could possibly refuse such a gift. And that's not all. Do you feel like I'm in an infomercial? And that's not all. For the entirety of the year of Jubilee, God's people were invited to rest and restoration. The entire year, rest and restoration. For the whole year, they did no planting. They did no harvesting. All property was returned to its original owners, and all people returned to their ancestral lands and homes. Think of it as a year-long homecoming, where God's people were reset and restored to a simpler, more joyful life. They lived off the stored abundance that God had provided them, and they trusted God for the rest. Life's playing ground was evened for all, so to speak, and everyone was provided the exact same clean slate and beginning. And all these gifts were available for the taking for everyone. Thanks be to God. This is the year of Jubilee for God's people in the Old Testament. But what about the New Testament? That was a long time ago, the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Where is the year of Jubilee there? I'm so glad you asked. Now it's time to take your Bibles. Luke chapter 4. Now, I've asked some helpers to come help me with this scripture. So I'm going to invite Wilma and Stephen, if they will join me here at the front. We are going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, 14 through 28.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written,
"The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them,
"Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them,
"Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth,"
he continued,
"no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian.
All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
The word of the Lord, yes. And thank you, Stephen and Wilma. I wanted you to hear the red letter words there. Wilma read the narrative, and Jesus and Stephen read the red letter words of Jesus. In this passage, it is the Sabbath day, and Jesus is in the synagogue, and he's asked to read scripture. And that was really typical. That was typical for their gatherings, their Sabbath gatherings in that day and time. They would read a passage from the Torah, which is the first five books, the Pentateuch, some would call them. And then they would read a passage from the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus read the passage from the prophets, specifically from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61. In my copy, it is marked in quotations because it's a quote from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus reads in verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim what, Maplewood? The year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus sits down. And then he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Are you following what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, "Today, I am the fulfillment of this prophecy." Jesus is saying, "Today the Spirit of the Lord is on me." Did you catch that? All three persons of the Trinity. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And me is Jesus. Isn't that cool? That's just bonus material. He's saying, "Today I have come to preach good news to the poor. I have come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I have come to make the blind to see. I'm here to release the oppressed. I am here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The year of what? The year of Jubilee. Basically, Jesus just blew the horn, people. He did. He is saying the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, has begun. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has come to earth, put on skin to gift his people then and his people now with Jubilee blessings. First, Jesus has come to wipe out debt. No, not your student loans, I'm sorry. Better debt. No, not the temporal financial debts of this earth. Those will be wiped away. But the spiritual debt of sin that none of us have any hope of repaying, and we all carry it. But the book of Colossians reminds us Jesus took it away, nailing it to a cross. Check that out in Colossians 2. That's a powerful passage. Colossians 2:14. Jesus took our sin away, nailing it to a cross, and now our sins are as far as the east is from the west for those who have come to him for forgiveness. And I say, thanks be to God. Say it with me, Maplewood. Thanks be to God. Second, Jesus has come to set the captives free. In the book of John, you cannot beat Jesus' words. He says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus has come to set his sons and daughters free from every chain, from every shackle, and make you free indeed. And I say, thanks be to God. Say it with me. Thanks be to God. And finally, Jesus is here to invite us to rest and restoration. In the words of Jesus again himself, we hear the invitation. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Whew, I need that. I need it all. Are you weary? Something wearing you down? Are you tired? Do you feel burdened? Are you weighed down with so much stuff? This is Jesus' invitation to you. Come, find rest in your Savior. He's waiting and ready to gift you with rest for your souls. And I say, thanks be to God. You say it. Thanks be to God. Jesus declares the year of Jubilee. And not just for those people, for all people, for all people, for all times. This moment, right here in Luke chapter 4, he is declaring, I have come to bring complete forgiveness of sin debt. I have come to provide freedom from enslavement of sin and world. I have come to invite you to rest and peace and restoration. And it's all available for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. In closing, I want to point out the only sad news in this story. And I'm sure you heard it. There were some folks in this passage that declined to receive the blessings of Jubilee. They said no thank you. For what I'm sure were a million reasons that sounded legitimate to them, they declined the gift. The gift of Jubilee. The gift that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit desires to give them. And they miss the blessing. If you are in this room today or listening online, I want to ask you, why would you turn down such a gift? Especially knowing that it comes from the one who formed you and loves you. Forgiveness of debt, freedom from captivity, rest and restoration is available for the taking. It is the year of Jubilee. I don't think you'll ever sing Days of Elijah quite the same after you get a hold of this truth. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation has come, is coming, is here. Amen. Thanks be to God. Yes. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this gift. Lord, we know that this world can be a hard place. Lord Jesus himself, the bringer of Jubilee, understands the broken places in this world. He walked them. He lived them. But yet he says, I have come to set you free. I have come to give you rest. I have come to wipe the slate of debt. I have come to give you peace. And all of this is so far above the struggles of this world that we can blow a horn to celebrate and live in that celebration. Lord, I'm so thankful for the gifts that you give, the good gifts that you give, the gifts that can never pass away. Lord, when we receive them and we live into them and lean into them and listen and obey, Lord, there's nothing this world can do can take our blessings from you. Lord, I pray that if in the hearing of my voice today, there are some today who have not yet embraced your gifts, have not yet invited you in to be their Savior, to bring the blessings of Jubilee to them, Lord, I pray that in the quiet of this room, even now, that they will say yes to you. Lord, we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We're so sorry for how we have wronged you. Thank you for loving us even in our sin. Thank you, Lord, for making a way for our slate to be wiped clean. Lord, we believe you are who you say you are. Lord, we know that you can not only take away our debt, but set us free from enslavement to this world and to sin. And Lord, we accept your gift of salvation and the rest and restoration that comes with it. We thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.